Amazing, you know? Jesus Christ baptized Grace with the Holy Spirit. Right in the room at the table. And Grace said, here is Jesus, you know? And just met the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, by the power of the Spirit. And he just infused her, indwelled her. And though Grace didn't talk about it a lot, her life began to be transformed. And one day some of the others came to Grace who didn't know what had happened and said, Grace, what's happened to you? She said, I've met Jesus and I received the Holy Spirit. How do you know it's holy? Because he introduced me to Jesus, and Jesus is the highest. And she said, you can tell the Holy Spirit by his witness to Jesus. She didn't know the Bible taught this. Didn't know the Bible at all. But she said, any spirit that doesn't witness to Jesus isn't the highest spirit. And if you want the highest, you listen to one that witnesses to Jesus. Well, Grace, can we have what you've got? You sure can. How do you get it, Grace? All you have to do, just like a little child, she said, all you have to do is just say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And you know, this group sat around this table 3 hours one afternoon looking at one another saying, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And all of them were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And a church was born. And this girl, a woman named Grace, she's a woman now, is one of the most powerful people I've ever met in my life. Infused with Jesus. Jesus is alive. He's really real. But he does want to be Lord of all, as someone says, or not Lord at all. You make up your mind. If you want to dive in at some other level, you can. You can contact most any realm of spiritual reality you want if at the same time they want to contact you. You can go all the way down from the darkest pits right on up to all kinds of mediums and grays and what have you. And medium is a good word at that point. and we're being bombarded with all this. A lot of our young people are. Maybe some of you adults haven't learned better. Learn that you can have something better. That's what I mean by learn better. And maybe you're still toying with all these other identifications. Jesus said, he was the door to the kingdom of God. Now, you can get in other kingdoms. You can get the kingdom of Aunt Mary and Uncle John. You can get the kingdom, of anybody else. I got in Rufus Mosley's kingdom for a while. And it was pretty good, but it wasn't high. I love Rufus greatly, and I got in his kingdom. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus is Lord. In the kingdom of God, Jesus, the resurrected Lord of the universe, is the ruler and reigner. Is that spirit within you saying, yes, Lord Jesus? Yes, Lord? And so Jesus, from the realm of the resurrection, is wanting to break in on us, wanting to manifest himself. And I've discovered something, incidentally, that when you get to know Jesus, and come to live in him and let him live in you, and many of you have discovered the same thing, that everything you've ever had to give up in order to get to Jesus, if it's worth keeping, will be given back to you. But it will be given in its rightful place. You need never worry about what you have to sacrifice in order to get in union with Jesus. For if you give up houses, our homes, our land, anything else that you give up in order to come into union with Jesus will be given back to you in this life 100-fold. And that's just the beginning. it's not a bad deal, is it? But you do have to make that sacrifice of nothing in my hand I bring. Here's a story that you'll remember. It was told by Ed Winkley, whom I love so much, and I hope all of you know too. Ed tells this story about a little lad in London, just at twilight time. The officers walking down the street saw him robbing a garbage can. They went over and pulled him up and out, and there he was, his little old hair as if a comb had never been made, his face as if a bath cloth had never been invented, his clothing so dirty they looked like one solid piece of black leather. And holding him at arm's length, they took him down to a home operated by the city for children. And as they got there and the matron opened the door, it was just supper time. Supper was already on the table. But one look at the little boy let the matron know that he needed a bath before he had his supper. So she went in and turned a tub of hot water and stripped these clothes off this little boy and set him down in that tub and began to scrub away and came down to his hand to wash his hand. He had his fist clenched, and he wouldn't open it. No amount of begging would cause him to open it. She called in another nurse, and one of them would pry open a finger, and the other would wash. Pry and wash. Pry and wash. Pry and wash. And there, when they got it open, in his palm was a piece of molded bread crust. All the while, supper waiting. What's in your hand? Jesus himself is waiting, but it's not a game. It's life or death. Jesus is waiting. What's in your hand? Some little game you're playing? Some little prejudice you've got? Some little plan you're holding on to? What is in your hand? Jesus stands in the midst of us and says, you can know me. And the knowing of me is by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit operating from within you. Now let me just say, use one analogy this morning and close. In Jesus making himself known to us by the Spirit, it's beautiful to study the analogies of the Spirit in the Bible. And incidentally, there's one of the best statements I've known along this line was made by Sundar Sain, this great Christian from India. He said, seeing the Son of God is like seeing the solar system sun. You can only see it in its own light. We look out and say the sun's gone down, when really he said it hadn't gone anyplace. Only the world has come between us. And it's that way with the Son of God. There is really no organization, no individual, nor group of individuals within itself who can make Jesus known. Jesus is known to you in his own light. Now, he can use organizations. He can use individuals or groups. Use anything. But it's by the Spirit that you really know him personally. And so if you don't see him, it's not because he's not here. It's because something has come between us. And so one analogy Jesus uses concerning the Holy Spirit, he stood in the midst of the people at that last day of the great feast in Jerusalem, took a pitcher of water, poured it out, and said, if any man's thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, will be given to drink, so that out of his belly, our innermost being, there will flow rivers of living water. Now, he spake this concerning the Spirit, which was not already in man. See, here's the difference. And this is awfully confusing to a lot of people. Don't I already have the Holy Spirit? Don't I have the breath of God? Yes, you have the light of God in creation. All people do. But there's a difference between the God consciousness within you that was given to you in creation and the coming of the Holy Spirit as a, in the Christian dimension. Everybody has the Christ consciousness. Everybody has the Christ light. Everybody has the that of God, John Woolman calls. But the gift of the Holy Spirit in the Christian dimension is not something already within you being, you know, sparked and leaping up. He said that the Holy Spirit hadn't been given. This he spake concerning the Holy Spirit, which hadn't been given. Didn't they have? Yes, you see, they had the Christ consciousness. They had the God light, whatever you want to call it. And that needs to be developed. But when you get through developing the Christ consciousness, you haven't even started with the Christian gospel. The Christian gospel is not only developing the that of God, but it's coming into union with the resurrected Lord. See, it's light unto light. It's glory unto glory. It's grace unto grace. It's Jesus unto you. So don't stop with a level of just Christ consciousness. Get to know Jesus too. And if you get to know Jesus, don't stop developing your consciousness. Keep on growing. It's both and. You don't have to choose in this thing. It's both and. And so Jesus said the Holy Spirit hadn't been given because he hadn't been glorified. But after he was glorified, he would be given. And he called it water. Now, what determines the flow of water? Where does water flow first? Low places? Or beautiful places? Or clean places? Or dirty places? It flows to the low place first, doesn't it? How low are you? Have you gotten off your high horse? do you really want Jesus? Are you willing to get low at his feet? This is the way in, through the feet. And you get off high horses, humble yourself before the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, be the God of my life. Help me to resign as general manager of the universe. Help me to resign, just like Ruth. Resigning as a good wife, as a good mother. She never was good anyway, except in her own eyes. That's what she was saying last night. I resigned. I resigned. I'm resigning from having a great ministry. Every once in a while, I want God to anoint me and let me have the greatest ministry. I want to be a preacher so bad I don't know what to do. And every once in a while, I just have to resign from being a preacher. You know, just resign. What is it you want to be? What is it you want to resign? It can be done, but it's done as Jesus manifests himself through you. So you get low at his feet and let the water flow in. Now, another thing about this wonderful water flowing, water accommodates the vessel into which it flows, doesn't it? It flows into a tub. It doesn't say, why aren't you a quart jar? No. It just accommodates the vessel. And so when the Holy Spirit comes into me, he doesn't say, why aren't you like Jerry Astle? He runs a great risk in coming into me because he takes on my personality. He accommodates himself to my own manifestation, comes and thinks through my processes, speaks with a North Carolina brogue through me. It's amazing, isn't it? He's not mad at me. He's not saying, why aren't you like somebody else? He's saying, Tommy, when you were made, the mold was thrown away. There's nobody else in the world like you. Hallelujah. There's nobody else in the world like you either. Hallelujah. See? So when you start trying to imitate somebody else, you're blocking the flow of the Spirit. You humble yourself before the Lord, and then you start receiving on your own response. Be honest with Jesus. Be honest with the flow of the Spirit within you. And whatever he tells you to do, start doing it. He's capable of talking to you in a way you can understand. You're not responsible for doing something he hadn't asked you to do. But when he started flowing into me, I thought, you know, he was going to exalt me. But instead, he started bringing up the trash. I was praying one day. I was pastor of a church. I was praying one day and, you know, really wanting to go on with the Lord. All of a sudden, here came the face of a man right before me in my mind. Not visually, but in my mind. It could have been visual. And I saw his face, and I pushed it aside because he was a member of the board. And he was the most contrary man I've ever met. If I came into that board meeting and say, wasn't this a wonderful day? He'd say, what's so wonderful about it? Yeah, just that way. I wish so much he'd joined the Baptist church. I tried to rotate him off the board, and he'd outwit me every way I turned. And I'd gone to those who agreed with me and talked about him, gotten confirmed in my prejudice. Isn't it amazing how we do that? We get confirmed in our prejudice. What do you think about so-and-so? I don't either. And we'll confirm one another in our prejudice. How about confirming in our faith? I want to know what you believe, not what you're prejudiced against. What you experience. But anyway, I was prejudiced against him and had gotten confirmed in it. And one day here he came right before me. And I knew I had to settle it. You know, God didn't say anything audibly. He can speak beyond that. It's the wordless word that bothers me. That's the real power. I knew I had to face him. He was a carpenter. I knew where he was working in the summertime. I went down to where he was working. There he stood, sawing a piece of 2x4. Just had on a thin pair of pants and a t-shirt. Standing there sawing, and I saw out of the corner of his eye that he knew that I was there. And as I approached, kept sawing. He never even looked up. I came right up beside him. He never even looked up and said, "Hi, preacher," anything. And I thought, Lord, you see what a rascal he is. And he waited until he finished sawing that piece of wood and laid his saw down and said, "Well, hello there, preacher. What's on your mind?" And boy, I wanted to give it to him. but my heart had already went out. So I said, "Brother Parker, I've talked about you. I've said some ugly things about you. And I've resented you. And the Lord has convicted me. And I'm sorry. God has forgiven me. And I understand it's been mutual. And I want you to know I forgive you. And I've come to be reconciled." And I hadn't more than gotten that out when we were wrapped around one another's neck, tears running down with sweat. You know, and there we stood, hugging one another, crying on one another's shoulder, and the Holy Ghost cleansing us. Oh, it was precious and wonderful. And when I left him to go back to the parsonage, I felt more like a preacher is supposed to feel. The Holy Spirit, instead of exalting me, began to cleanse me. And you know, he's still at it. Whiter than snow. Ajax hadn't got a thing on Jesus. That man in white is here. And he's here to cleanse. And so the Holy Spirit, as he comes in and we get low like water, he flows in. He accommodates the vessel, but he'll bring up the trash. Now, he doesn't let us run from it. Like Ruth was saying, the Holy Spirit is not an escape hatch that lets us run from our needs. And you know, we have all kinds of needs. They're blocks between us and other people. And sometimes, I really want to ignore those blocks. But the Holy Spirit really can't minister when the blocks are there. That's why a camp, it takes a while, really, to get settled, because they're not necessarily conscious blocks. They're personality differences. They're differences in experiences. We haven't gotten one in this camp yet. There are all kinds of divergences. That's why we need to spend more time in prayer. We need to spend more time before the Lord. We need to spend more time being quiet to learn to recognize these blocks that are between us and identify them. I don't ask you to agree with my theology. I believe what I believe, but my theology is a way of expressing my experience. So don't fight with my theology. Just be honest about your experience. You know, and on the experience level, in the love of God, don't try to mold me into your theology. Let me be me. I won't try to mold you in my theology. I'm willing for you to, but be honest about it. And where there's a block, it can become an asset. It can become a stepping stone if you'll be honest. I love people to come up to me and say, Tommy, I can't stand you. And you know, I've had them do this. And I love to be able to look back and say, that's all right, but why can't you stand me? You know, it's because of, you know, the cold weather, you haven't taken the bath, or, you know, why can't you stand me? Well, I just can't stand, you know, that laugh of yours. You aren't supposed to laugh in church. You know, or your shoulders twitch. Yeah. Yeah. Or the way you kick out your foot. Yeah. What is he doing? I don't like your theology. All right. Well, what about I don't like that Jesus bit. Oh, well, then that's between you and Jesus. You know, if you don't like the Jesus bit, that's between you. See, identify the problem. And so you just bring it out. I don't like this. Well, you know, some things may, you may be blaming me for a block that you need to settle it with the Lord. So we get honest with one another until we can look each other in the eye and just say, you know, I love you. I'm one with you. I'm not going to suffer your rejection, and I'm not going to let you suffer my rejection. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with this camp. He wants us to come into a oneness of a spirit, and we're running from it at times. I don't know that we're running consciously. More of it's in the subconscious. We're a little bit afraid the Lord might do something that wouldn't be respectable. Wouldn't that mess us up? Well, really, the Lord isn't worried about his reputation. And if you're worried about yours, you know, then you've got a problem. But identify the problem. You see, that's why, so the Holy Spirit comes, brings up the trash. He brings up the problem to identify. And if he brings it up in you and you say, Lord, that's Tommy's fault. Well, he'll never take my fault from you. He'll never take anybody else's fault from you. That's why the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you to confess my sins. And as long as he brings it up in you and it's my fault, it'll always be there within you. But when he brings it up in you and you identify it, and you say, Lord, I've got a hang up here. And the minute you label it as your own, you see, he's a spirit of truth. He's not a thief. He's very honest. And the minute you label it as your own, then it gives him the privilege to deal with it in you. That's the glory of confession. And you know, we as Protestants really need to learn from our Catholic brethren the real joy of what confession is all about. Being really honest with Jesus in terms of acknowledging that which the Holy Spirit brings up. Are you ready for a baptism in the Holy Spirit? Are you ready to identify blocks, hang-ups, differences? Not that we settle within ourselves, but that we recognize them and let the Lord turn them into stepping stones. Makes sense to you? We'll continue this tonight. And let's pray by tonight we'll be ready for a real, you know, the whole experience. All of us come into a new baptism with the Holy Spirit and Jesus really manifesting himself in our midst. Praise God. Now, Lord Jesus, I certainly don't have any preconceived idea about what and how you're supposed to work, except I know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you said the Spirit of the Lord had anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring sight to the blind, to bind up broken hearts, heal all bruises, set the captives free, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So, Lord, set every captive free. If we are captivated by imagination, captivated by any lesser love than you, captivated by any idea that is foreign to your nature, set us free. Captivated by any secondary emotion, set us free. Thank you, Lord. Heal the sick. Thank you, Jesus. We know that you're going to do it in the worship through devotion in motion, that you are healing. You're healing through the creatives. You're just bringing up all kinds of things. So, Lord, we just want you to have preeminence. That's all. And that'll be enough to know you and to make you known. Thank you, Lord. Amen.